Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, baptism, as it is known, moves the heart of the believer toward a closer relationship with Christ, like a marriage ceremony which now binds you with this Creator and the Savior. In the Bible, we see baptism demonstrated as part of the Christian life. Baptism marks a choice, a transition, right? That dipping of the fabric in that dye in the heart of the believer. It's the beginning of an intentional journey of a life deeply changed. Now, so many of the baptisms in the Bible happened when someone gave their heart to Jesus and their hearts were converted and they wanted to publicly declare their desire to follow and believe in Him. So Mfundisi Dlamini joins us now as he takes us through why we need this baptism. Pastor, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, man of God.
I'm
admiring your craft, man.
Okay, whatever that's supposed to mean. Hope you had a good evening.
Buddhist. You guys speak in a certain way, and it's impressive. You have a gift. The way you choose your words and present yourself is fine.
No, we thank the Lord for that. Buddhist, let's jump into our discussion for today. We will later base on what baptism is and what it means yesterday. Why, though? What is the purpose of baptism?
Well, the purpose of baptism, first and foremost, we need to understand it's a symbol.
Yes.
A symbol that needs to communicate something. What does it communicate? It communicates union with Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Yes, it communicates that now that I have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, I have to somehow maybe display it. It's like a wedding ceremony.
Okay.
Marriage between two parties.
Mm-hmm.
You want to declare to the community that this one is mine and I am theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of baptism is to signify or symbolize the beginning of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, baptism also reaffirms to the one being baptized that the slate has been cleaned off. You've been justified. You've been forgiven. And thirdly, baptism, as a starting off of a relationship, or no, not even a starting off per se of a relationship, as a symbol of commitment to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit jumps in then to give the person being baptized gifts of the Spirit to enable them to walk uprightly in this newfound relationship between Christ and the baptismal candidate. The purpose of those are the three main points: union with Jesus Christ, affirmation of forgiveness of sin, justification, and thirdly, being endowed with fruits of the Spirit, moving on. It doesn't just end at justification. We also have a word, sanctification.
Okay.
Where the journey starts, where you unlearn a lot of things and you learn other things.
Hmm.
It's a tough journey. Paul says, "Who will deliver me from this body of sin?"
Hey, yeah.
And then he says, "Glory to God that Christ has availed His power and mercy, that I may walk this path of righteousness." So that's the purpose of baptism.
Thank you so much for that, Mfundisi. You know, all these beautiful things that you've mentioned, one might be thinking, but still they can almost exist. I'm tempted to look at the culture of today, which says I can be committed to somebody, I can vow to live my life with them in a faithful manner, I can do all these beautiful things. Why do I need to have the marriage ceremony? You know, marriage is just an archaic thing. When we're going to touch that actually on tomorrow's day, when we look at the different forms of baptism, I know one church, one denomination that doesn't even do this water thing. You pass under a flag and you're good to go, you know. And then you have others who look at baptism as though there is some magic in the water. You know, that if you come out of the water somehow, you are now vaccinated against sin or something of the sort. What role does baptism play in the Christian life, Mfundisi, above all these beautiful things that it symbolizes, this purpose of it and what it's supposed to signify to the outside world and to yourself as a baptismal candidate? What's its role? Does it do something in your life?
Oh, you know, I'm inclined to thought processes.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by the thinking processes. For example, when God creates this planet,
mm-hmm.
The Bible says he created it through speaking things into existence.
Yeah.
But the original language will inform you that God thought the planet into existence.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
When God creates man in his image, he says, let us create man with the ability to think things into existence.
Mm.
Yeah, or to think their life into a shaped, path where things are not just haphazard happening out of the blue. When we get into baptism, we affirm rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And rebirth, therefore, means the restructuring of the thought processes.
Yeah, yeah.
One songwriter writes that the things I used to do, I do them no more. Mm. So baptism is a change in a Christian's lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
where the thoughts are no longer what they used to be.
The things I used to do, I do them no more.
I do them no more.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the beginning of a spiritual journey and a symbol of rebirth. I think we spoke about that. It signifies death to sin and a new life in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And I think we've addressed the public affirmation of faith.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And commitment to the community of Christians.
If I'm hearing you, Mfundisi, it's almost like an opportunity to be held accountable. You know, if you do this in your heart, you can easily deny that it ever occurred, right? But if you stood in front of people and said, I vow from this day forward, when we see you do other things, we can actually say, hey, Kantimanje, what's going on, my brother? And even yourself, you can say, wait a minute, I stood in front of people and vowed, this can't be the way I now do my life. I don't know, does it play that role as well, where it, like you're saying, this public affirmation kind of holds you accountable now to this thing that you've now declared yourself to do?
Remember, if it's a public declaration,
mm-hmm.
it does hold you accountable to the principles
mm-hmm.
of Christianity and the laws of Christianity. If you are going to mess up in public, it may maybe lead to your following question. I'm running ahead of you, I know, and I'm so sorry.
No, it's
it
okay.
may lead to it may lead to if at all you get to a point of repenting again, of which chances are very slim for that to happen, and to those that do it, they should thank God that they are able to repent after apostatizing. You have to return and make another public declaration.
Yes.
To say, I'm recommitting myself to God, which is why I often tell young people that do not be hard on the elders when they censure people who are caught in the act.
Okay.
There are sins that are public, and those sins should be dealt with publicly to voice out the position of the church. Hence, in some instances, it may be required that when you return from wherever you had been and done whatever you had done, it may be wise to have you getting rebaptized again to reaffirm that, no, it was wrong, now I'm found.
But is it not, what do they call it, Hebrews, crucifying Christ again? Isn't the first death sufficient to cover all sins and all faultings that follow?
Correct. It is crucifying Christ again. But remember, it's not Christ's fault that you are crucifying him again. It's
okay.
You, the one who's the perpetrator, who crucifies Christ again. And as much as the first death is enough and, suitable to save us,
mm-hmm.
we need to signify that we are submitting ourselves under the death of Jesus Christ. If it means then we have to go and get rebaptized, I think that should be the case. The story of rebaptism is found in the book of I think the book of Acts, chapter 19.
Okay.
The book of Acts, chapter 19.
Mm-hmm.
Just paraphrasing through it, verse 1 to 7. Paul speaks to people claimed to be to have been disciples of Jesus Christ, and he questions them, "Were you not baptized?" And they respond, they reply to say, "We were baptized, and we were baptized by John."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, Paul says, "Why don't you then have the fruits of the Spirit? Why don't you have symbols or ways that show that there's a change in life?" He then decides to rebaptize them. Mm. So, in essence, there are instances, there are situations and cases that are unique that may affirm the need for rebaptism.
Okay.
Yeah. C.D. Brooks preaches a powerful sermon. I'm sorry that I'm going to maybe misquote him, but he says some of us don't really repent. We go into the water dry devils,
hey.
And we come out wet devils.
Hey.
So there are different cases for different situations, which then may need for us to get rebaptized.
I don't know if I'm hearing you well, Mfundisi. It comes across like you're saying it's not about the lack of efficacy in the power of the blood of Christ, right? It's not about mm-hmm. his blood at all, this idea of rebaptism. It's about me and my connection to it. That's what I'm reaffirming. Not saying Christ's first washing away was not effective. Am I hearing you well? It's really about me, the person, really needing it again.
Exactly. It's about me, the person, needing it again, and my conviction to the baptism. A number of years ago, from a church that I was worshiping with, I'm not going to mention it by name.
Okay.
There's a lady that came and just asked for rebaptism. The elders didn't know what she had done and whatever. No one knew what she had done actually. But she came and just said, "You know what? I need rebaptism." And there's nothing the elders could do.
Which is, because sometimes now people want to then inquire and you ask a million questions and you want to almost vet as though they qualify or don't. When there is that kind of a request, would you want to know? Because let's say, for example, you're a member in a church, right? Your name is in, what do they call it, good and regular standing. What then happens when a member then comes and approaches, "Mfundisi, I want to be rebaptized"? Do you then remove them from membership so that they can be rebaptized and re-put them? I'm just trying to look at the administration side of things. It becomes a bit of a complication. Should you inquire, what did you do? Do we need to censure and sit in a board? Or you just say, "You know what, we hear you, we pray, and then we put you back in the water"? Help us maybe walk through that.
Well, I was a bit young back then when mm-hmm. it happened. I wasn't part of the church administration.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the details around it. All I know is that she got rebaptized. Yes.
It's a fascinating one. It's a fascinating one because what you're saying is because sometimes we think rebaptism is based on apostasy, right? You must have fallen away first for you to come back. But what you're mentioning also kind of brings us the sense, especially from that statement from the late preacher's statement, right? Wet devils and you, that's
dry
all,
devils,
you
yes.
know, dry devils coming out, wet devils. To say that sometimes it can just mean I have reached a new understanding and of what this commitment to Christ is. I've been actually, what does Christ call it? When you are converted, lead your brethren, right? When I reach that point, I can actually say, "You know what? I was baptized, but that one was a Fong Kong one. Can I get a new one? Because I now understand what is actually happening here."
Yes, it's in many cases,
mm-hmm.
in many cases where you get situations where there's a need for rebaptism, chances
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
the person that got baptized did not understand what they were committing themselves to,
mm-hmm.
Which then brings into question, not even question, into, you know, our attention, the need to teach before we baptize.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what mm-hmm. the instruction says. Go teach them and then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28. as a church, we should be concerned about the quality of converts we bring to the Lord. We should not be just concerned with the numbers. Let us spend time teaching. Let us spend time instilling these teachings into God's children. Nonetheless, also, the recipients, the ones that are being taught, should also understand that you can't be a baby forever. Paul says, "I wish that you'd start eating strong meat or strong food, but why must you be served milk all the time?" So it's not a catch-22, but it's a call for accountability on
True,
both parties. Let
true.
the church teach, and let those that are being taught commit to the teachings and grow and get baptized.
I hear you. I hear you. For to say, as we wrap it up, one would argue to say, we spend so much time talking about these nitty-gritties of baptism. Is it really even necessary? Is it something that is a must? Or, I mean, evidence in the scripture says there are people who were promised to be with Christ by Christ himself and they never got baptized. Why? What then is the hullabaloo, the fuss about? Is it imperative? Is it a must? Or it's optional? Those who want, okay, go ahead and do it. Otherwise, no, me, I'm committed in my heart to Christ. I don't need this water thing.
Oh. Baptism is imperative to those that have been taught about it. Yes, if you have been taught about baptism, remember, God holds us accountable according to the amount of knowledge we know. That's why Paul says, "For the times of ignorance, God winks at. But now that we have come to know, let us do as those that know, who will be held accountable." So is baptismal optional? Not entirely. If you have received information about it,
You must act on that.
you must then move according to your conviction. Obviously, people are not coerced, forced into getting baptized, but we are held accountable according to the knowledge we have. If we've been taught about baptism and its importance and its symbolic role in our lifestyle, requirements and prescriptions by God, we can't shy away from it and say, I'm gonna accept Christ in my heart and just and that's it. Remember also there's an aspect of community in this faith of Christianity. You have to join the community, and in joining the community, the symbol of baptism plays an important role. We'll identify you as one of us if we've seen you follow the rites that we practice as a church to getting to a point of being baptized as well. So
Is this meaning, Mfuni, sorry to cut you there. Is this meaning that if we then don't get baptized after we know, we won't maybe make it to life? Because people then get afraid to say, oh, I'm about to die. Please baptize me, otherwise I won't go.
no, that's not entirely the case. We need to understand that God is not polarized. God is not an extremist. There are cases, there are unique cases that God caters for depending on the situation. If you are not sick and you are healthy and you are able to read and understand, ultimately there's nothing that's going to, force you to get baptized. Please, man, surrender your heart to God
Amen.
and just get baptized. Nonetheless, there's a case we had somewhere in Duduza. We had been there to evangelize. This is before even becoming a pastor. There's a lady that accepted the message, but she was sick to a point of death. So she had asked for a prayer for dedication, and we spoke to the elders, and we went and they read a text where the Bible says a prayer of a fervent prayer of righteous men avails much. And she was dedicated, and unfortunately or sadly, she later on passed on. So such a case, you can't say because she has not baptized, then she's not gonna make it to heaven. God will deal with it the best way he sees fit. But to us who are alive and healthy,
And
guys,
able.
let's not stop here and able, let's not beat about. Let's just accept Christ as a personal savior.
No, guys, I'm finished. Pastor, sadly, we'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much once again. We can't wait to then wrap up this discussion tomorrow. And I want to touch back on this one that you're bringing up about the ability to say, okay, what if I can't get into that water and can't go to the river? Like the eunuch who says, yes, water. Can I then maybe just you tilt my head and there's a bucket next to me and then you. But it's a good day to
No,
you.
we'll address
Have a
that
good Tuesday.
tomorrow. Likewise, Nina, but thank you so much.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Cheers.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.